Mini episode 1899 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1899. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with two of my favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries from the Great Callous Remarks podcast. And these guys are staunch media veterans for far longer than that show's been on the air. But very pleased that I've been able to be on the show with them from time to time, and they are two of our favorite folks to bring on and talk about any number of subjects with. Today, it's the 2025-2026 NFL playoffs. The show, of course, co-hosted by Steve Callis and Joe Stazak, our great friends. Steve, welcome to the back to the program here. Always a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Love doing this with you guys as often as we can. Obviously, I love doing it with Joe. He's a walking history book, and I love doing it with you because you're a walking history book, too.
I appreciate that. And as you mentioned, Joe Stazak here, Philly media legend himself.
That's always right.
A pleasure, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm humbled to be in the presence of both of you, by the way. And I mean that. No, it's all kinds of fun. Looking forward to this. You know, the regular season went pretty fast, but it's going to be a whole lot of fireworks going forward.
A weird-ass regular season. Like, this has just been one of those things. And I was seeing some breakdowns on it early on that it was indicative that, like, I think some of the years that lower-seeded teams have made the Super Bowl, I think one of the examples I saw was 2010 with the Packers. I think they were actually a lower seed when they went to the Super Bowl that year.
The six seed.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the year that the when the Steelers went to the Super Bowl, I think in 08, I think that was another year. I think they were a lower seed because I think that was the year they had to go on the road to Indianapolis and beat them there. So
yeah, Roethlisberger saved the season when they had that when Jerome Bettis fumbled there going in, and I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah,
he made a tackle and they ended up going and they beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, and, you know, as a salty North Coast guy myself here, I mean, I will say that, like, that Super Bowl, wherever he is right now, I think Santonio Holmes is still juggling that quote-unquote touchdown pass that they awarded him. So, you know, you'd expect me to say that, but I will say that. I guess I'll play the part here.
Maybe Gene Steratore was the ref that day because he came in handy in our Super Bowl in 2018.
Yeah, you never know. The officiating in some of these games here obviously kind of comes into play. And so just in going through and looking at this, I do want to flag for everybody here that a couple of things that I will be referring to through the course of the program. And on fantasydrafthelp.com, I do have up on there a couple of documents that we will be taking a look at here. And first of all, kind of lead off with the end of NFL regular season. Actually, no, we'll get to that a little bit later here. I've got the tip sheet up, the weekly tip sheet that we do through the season. So the power rankings through the course of the season. And we've got them charted out here, so you can kind of see as we go. I was not as high on Seattle coming into the season. I had them 26th in the league after week one. Certainly a believer right now. And I like to see on here. It's been, like in the case of the Eagles, it's been one of the narrowest bands of any team in the league. I've had them as low as 8. I've had them as high as 1. I had them at 1 the first several weeks of the season. But you can kind of see going through here how we had them slotted, and then our wild card round predictions. So I'll get into this as we're talking about the AFC. My wild card round predictions here. I'm going to say in the games, Jacksonville 31, Buffalo 24. So I'm going to say Jags and the over. New England 23, Chargers 17, so Patriots and the under. And Houston 24, Pittsburgh 13, Texans and the under. And the other document that I had accidentally alluded to here previously, mistakenly, here it is, the FDH end of regular season breakdown. And this is where, again, you get into some of the statistical issues that have come up. One of the things that I'm going to note with some of these teams is the strength of schedule category here. Like New England, 32nd in strength of schedule. That tells you an awful lot about the success that they've had this year. Chicago, they're a team that the overall rankings don't respect as much. I had them 6th in the FDH power rankings, as you can see if you're looking at this, but 26th in strength of schedule for the league. That's a big part of why they were where they were. There are some teams with a very, very surprising strength of schedule in the positive sense here. Coming out of the AFC South, Houston 4th and Jacksonville 10th. So they were both pretty respectable in that regard. But I would say going through here, what I have for the subsequent rounds in the AFC, I'm going to say Houston over Denver. I've got them going on the road and pulling the quote-unquote upset in the second round. Number 3, Jacksonville over number 2, New England in the second round. And in the championship game in the AFC, I picked, for anybody to listen to the divisional previews, the Houston Texans coming into the season. I have them justifying my belief in them. Number 5 over number 3, Houston over Jacksonville in a all AFC South championship Sunday game. Can this possibly be the case? But it's how I have it going. So I note the laughter from the peanut gallery here. Steve Callis, I'll throw it to you on that one here. I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the AFC and how you see it shaking out.
Well, no, I wasn't laughing. I think it's bold because even right now, even as you're saying it, because I'm just not 100% sure. And Joe and I started doing these the last few weeks on Saturday morning, Rick, because you could get all the injuries on Friday and mm-hmm. even in some cases Thursday. And it made a big difference. But no, I'm not laughing. What I'm looking at is trying to find out the standout team. And when you look at the Broncos, having watched them all year, yeah, they got a real good defense. Yes, Bo Nix does it a lot. But, you know, what if all he has to do is have one game where he doesn't do it a lot? And I think there's a good chance they will lose. I'll give you what I like in the first round, and then I'll give you – I got two teams going to the Super Bowl,
okay.
Of course, which you have to have. But in the AFC, I'm going to pick the Bills on experience. I know the Jags are the hot team. I know Lawrence is a different quarterback because of his coach. I know they're great against the run, number one in the league against the run. But I'm still going to pick the Bills. I know the Bills are minus 1.5. Are you betting on experience? Absolutely. You're betting on playoff experience. The coach has never coached in the playoff game, and Lawrence, I think, is 1-1, I'm pretty sure. Now, I think the Bills' record is skewed because 0-4 against Kansas City. But the good news is they're 5-1 in the wild card game. The bad news is they're 0-4 on the road, and that's at least 2, if not 3, of those games were against the Chiefs. So, again, I won't say I throw it out, but you know they have James Cook III, who led the league 1,600 rushing yards. And you know Jags are number one against the run. So I'm looking for Josh Allen to be Superman. Sometimes he's been, sometimes he hasn't. I watched him a few weeks. I think he just took the first snap of the last game so he could keep what I view to be a phony starting. He's now started so many games in a row. I don't know the number, but he's done it twice now where he takes one snap and gets out of the game. Look, you protect your player. I thought he was injured the last few games that he played. He didn't, you know, just as I thought Lamar was injured the last few games that he played. And when you take the run away from these guys, I think that really takes it away from them as quarterbacks. Not that they're not standing in the pocket and can throw it. They both can. But they're not the double scary kind of guy. So I think if they can shut down James Cook III, I think there's going to be running opportunities for Josh Allen. But I'm really betting on experience. Their defense wasn't good at the beginning. When Matt Milano came down, they became a different defense. And so I've got the – I didn't pick scores like you. I'm not that good. But I got the Bills, even though they're at the Jags, the Bills have so much more experience, and I think playoff experience, Rick, counts for a lot. So that's my one. Patriots, you know I'm picking, but I think what you said, the knock on the Patriots all year is what? Who have they beaten?
Glass jaw.
Yeah. No, we're going to see, but I'm still going to take the Patriots because the Chargers, don't forget, I love Herbert, but I lost a lot of respect for him and his team last year. Four interceptions. I know it was against the Texans, but four interceptions. They looked horrible. He's still taking a lot of sacks this year, and I think the Patriots are good enough at home. They're getting a couple of the defensive guys back. And if Spillane plays, they'll have pretty much a complete defense. And Spillane is one of those sleepers. I think he leads the team in tackles. So I do have the Patriots. Yeah, there's a little Johnny Callis bias there, Rick, as you probably know. But I'm going to take the Patriots over the Chargers. And I'm with you all the way on the Texans. So we're going to stop at the AFC. I'll just give you my Super Bowl final right now, and then we can get to Joe. But in the finals, I've got the Rams and the Texans. Because I'm not a believer in the Broncos and the stuff you said about the rest of these teams, nobody sticks out. The Bills, if they had been close in the past, but they're not close in the past, they always lost. But I think they have more experience than pretty much any group in here. So I give them a chance, but I think you're right about the Texans, and I think I'm right about the Rams.
Well, I like the Rams too, to some degree. We'll get to that with the NFC on how much I like the Rams, but that's a little bit of a tease there. Joe Stazek, what are you thinking when you look at the AFC? How do you see it shaking out? It is a very, very weird, wild picture here, and it's one of those things where, again, and I've gone out on a limb that, like, with Kansas City not making the playoffs, for all the people like, oh, well, there's the ratings magnet that's gone. No, I think because outside of, Pittsburgh will keep their tradition going of the last 700 years of getting turfed in the first round, and Carolina's not going to put up much of a fight. But outside of that, man, every other playoff game in the field could be a very, very lively one, could be very close. I think the ratings will be way up in both conferences. But what are you looking at when you see it, Joe?
You want me to talk AFC or NFC?
Let's start AFC.
Yeah, AFC, I'm not necessarily going to pick specific games. I will tell you the teams I like to come out. I do like, Rick, the teams that you mentioned, Jacksonville and Houston. I think that defense, look, there's a formula. NFL's been around 105 years. The formula still works. Defense and running the ball. And, of course, protecting the football. And Houston Texans, I mean, it's like watching 11 on 15. You can't hide from they swarm. Yeah. And their defense has been ridiculous on opposing quarterbacks. Look, they started the season 0-3, and they've gone 12-2 since. So they've been pretty impressive. They're hot. And I like Jacksonville, believe it or not. I know they don't have a ton of post-game or playoff pedigree in terms of success, you know, outside of Tom Coughlin back in the day. But I think Liam Cohen has done a real nice job with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, I think they come out of the first game against the Bills. The Bills have been up and down this year. Yes, I agree with Steve. They have a lot of playoff experience, but they have a lot of playoff experience in losing and not getting over the top. So I do like the Bills. I don't know if Sean McDermott, if it's his last stand, because this is kind of a window that might be closing pretty quickly. I remember when Tampa's beige window was closing with Tony Dungy, and they had a lot of good players, you know, Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp and that crew, they made a change. I'm not sure what's going to happen in Buffalo. They seem to have issues every year. The defense, they're 12th in the league. Yeah, they played well against the Eagles. Of course, everyone looks pretty good against the Eagles offense. And the Buffalo's offense, look, they run the ball very well. But they're going up against the top rushing defense in the league. The Eagles held James Cook, I think, to 75 yards. And I like James Cook a lot. He just barely nipped Derrick Henry for the rushing title. Congratulations. But to me, it's him and it's Josh Allen. And, you know, once they have three tight ends that they rotate that are good, there's no wide receivers to speak of. And the defense is, can be pedestrian. The secondary is decent. They give up a lot of yards on the ground. And they're on the road. It wouldn't surprise me if they came out of that game, but I'm going with Jacksonville there. Denver, I've told Steve all year, I just can't get my brain around Denver. I know they have a good defense. Middle of the pack in scoring. They seem to wake up late. And I like to look at quarterbacks in the postseason. Do they have a history? If they don't, I'm not sure I'm going to put my money on Bo Nix in his second year to make a long run. Couldn't happen, sure, because you know, he could ride his defense. He could wake up in the fourth quarter like he usually does. But I can't get my brain around Denver, and I think that Houston or Jacksonville is probably going to come out. Look, Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. The nice win with the missed field goal the other night, but I don't think they're much for the postseason. They've lost like 28 in a row in the playoffs under Tomlin since like 2016. And the Chargers are banged up. I do like Justin Herbert. I'll give him a clean slate. He's tough. Plays with that broken left hand. He plays, he's good and he's tough. Yes, he struggled. First playoff year, gave up a 27-point lead. Second one through four picks against the Texans. I get it. I'll give him a little bit more. It's a small sample size. We shall see. But I don't see them doing a whole lot. And the Patriots, like you said, they had 32. Number 32 in terms of their strength of schedule. Haven't beaten anyone, although they've beaten everyone. Eric May's been great. Mike Vrabel, love what he's done. I'm curious to see how they play out against, better competition. Derek May in his second year. We'll see. But, I don't like young quarterbacks in the postseason. I know Brady came out in his second year, won a Super Bowl and whatnot, but he's an outlier. I think that you go with the guys who have experience in winning in the postseason. But I do like the Texans because I like their defense and they swarm. And CJ Stroud has gotten a lot better than his second year, which was a lot worse than his first year, which rookie year was tremendous and he had a drop off. But I think the Texans will be okay and they might come out of the AFC, like you said, Rick, before the season began. Good job. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I just kind of process of elimination going with them, and that it ended up working out as far as my guess there. Turning to the NFC and looking at this here, as I will bring up once again our final tip sheet of the season. I have my first round picks on here, and they are as follows, as anybody can see if you're watching the video. Rams 31, Carolina 13, so that's Rams and the under. Green Bay 27, Bears 24. I'm not as much of a believer in the Bears right now. I think the recent skid that they've been on kind of shows a little bit of the true colors. Not a bad team. They're just also a very fugazi two seed, I would say, at this point here. And I think Green Bay got the draw that they were looking for on that one. Certainly better for them than drawing Philadelphia. And in the other game, I'm going to say 27-16 Philadelphia over San Francisco, Eagles in the under. I think the Eagles probably would have rather drawn Green Bay, but I think that this is one that they can get past. I think it's something where, again, some of the issues that Philadelphia has might be able to be exploited, I think, by the Eagles in this game here. But moving forward, I'm going to say for the next round, number one, Seattle over number seven, Green Bay, number five, LA Rams over number three, Philadelphia. One of the toughest games of the playoffs for me to pick. I will say again, I think another game would be very tough to pick. Number five, Rams over number one, Seattle on Championship Sunday. So I have the Rams going to the Super Bowl. And I will say, just in looking at this, that with Arizona having fired their head coach, Jonathan Gannon, which I can certainly understand based on what's happened with them. The burden that is going to be on them to get it right, when you look at the rest of the division, it's an incalculable burden, because in that division, if NFL Films was still NFL Films and they did, a lot of what they've historically done before just being subsumed in NFL.com and the NFL Network, we'd be looking at something on there in 10 or 20 years about, remember when the NFC West had McVay and McDonald and Shanahan, this three-way coaching triumvirate in this division, I think is just, it's going to be the stuff of legends as we go along here. And it's very funny for me, by the way, to see all the people in Baltimore having buyer's remorse that they didn't just promote Mike McDonald to head coach when they could have had the chance. Joke's on them now. So, but as far as how the NFC shakes out, I'll start with you, Steve. What are you looking at when you see the NFC and a whole lot of games here, which aside from Rams-Panthers, a whole lot of games that could go either way and should be very, very, very compelling?
Well, I'm going to wait till Sunday. Obviously, I think the Rams are going to win, but I think the Panthers, you know, we've seen a number of these late game covers. You know, the Rams can be winning 34-17. Panthers score a meaningless touchdown in the last minute of the game, 34-24. Mm-hmm. That's not out of the realm of possibility. And I know what happens in the regular season doesn't really count for a lot, but as you know, the Panthers did beat the Rams during the regular season. So that says to me, no experience, young team, Bryce Young, I get it all. But I think they can, I'm not even saying hang with them, but I think they'll play to the final gun, if you will. And I think they have a chance for a backdoor cover. But obviously, I just picked the Rams to go to the Super Bowl. So I also like the Bears. I mean, the Bears, Joe and I have talked all year about Caleb Williams and some bad articles that were written about him. But I think he's come a long way. They're now averaging 370 yards per game. That's sixth in the NFL. Specifically against Green Bay, you know, they split the two games. But specifically against the Green Bay, they could run, I won't say at will, but almost at will. Green Bay is not good against the run. The Bears averaged in the two games they played just against the Packers, they averaged 5 yards per carry. You can go a long way getting second and five, you know, on virtually every carry. Obviously, we know that's not what happens. And the Packers allow 120 yards per game in rushing. So that's where I'm looking at, and I'm not a big Bears fan. And the Packers, you know, if they could have stayed healthy, there might have been a different deal here. And I'm also disappointed in the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win. But, you know, Joe, the last thing I saw on FanDuel tonight, the Eagles are now 4.5-point favorites. I think I'm going to take the 49ers. Obviously, I saw what Seattle did to them last week. And they're going to show – I'm sure the Eagles are just watching the tape because the Eagles have enough talent, I think, to try and do what Seattle did. But also there's a big question mark if Ricky Pearsall comes back, and I know nobody really follows Ricky Pearsall. He makes them an even stronger team.
Kittle, I believe he's out for the game. I just thought I heard that before the show.
Out officially? I heard questionable this afternoon.
Okay.
But no, if he's out, he's out. I mean, he hasn't played in a while anyway, but he's still a factor. Hopefully Kittle is 100% now coming off that high ankle sprain that he had. And you know, Seattle gave the Eagles the blueprint. Not that the Eagles needed to be told the blueprint, but I think Seattle's defense and the Eagles' defense are similar. I think Seattle's a little better. And I just think, you know, they shut down McCaffrey totally. And I think that's what the Eagles are going to try to do. But do you know that McCaffrey has 924 receiving yards this year? And he's got a chance to get 1,000 receiving yards. And they put up the only two guys. I think it was like Lenny Moore and, you know, some great running backs from yesteryear. Mm-hmm. But McCaffrey can do it, but he did get shut down by Seattle. So I might be going down the limb. I think it's a field goal game, but I think the Eagles will win. But I'm going to take the 49ers 4.5. And finally, I think that's my three, right? I think Rams win, Panthers cover. I think the Bears cover as a home underdog. I'll take the 49ers, but I think the Eagles will win the game.
All right. And Joe, again, you're the token guy on the show here with the real vested rooting interest in your hometown team in the playoffs. How do you see the NFC field shaking out?
Well, number one, yes, the Eagles would have probably fared better with the Packers coming to town, as banged up as they are. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of Jordan Love. But the Niners, their defense is not good. They can't run the ball. McCaffrey, yes, he's made his bones this year by, you know, catching the ball. And Purdy's been hot. But, again, Seattle shut them down, held them to 3 points. They were scoring 30 a game.
Yeah.
I do like, I noticed that the line had moved. That tells me the Sharks are betting on the Eagles. And so the smart money is on the Eagles. whether they cover or not, I like them to win the game. I think it could be close. I really do, because well, the Eagles make everything close. You know, they don't do anything easy, and but we shall see. Okay, they can do some things they haven't seen. In fact, I almost thought that they in the Washington game, not the last one, the first one after the they won a couple games, they kind of like didn't show a lot on tape. They didn't show what they had been showing against, you know, the Raiders and the next game that they won. It seemed like they went back to, you know, conservative diet football. And I think they'll be right. I don't know if that offensive line is going to be 100%. The reason I think Nick Sirianni gave them an extra week was really directed at the offensive line. Otherwise, they're not that injured. Lane Johnson gives him an extra week. You know, Steve, we talk about it all the time, how their record with Lane Johnson, without Lane Johnson, markedly different. But the offensive line, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, they've been banged up. Lane Johnson's been out with the Liz Frank injury. So I think that's why Nick Sirianni really opted to rest. Cost him the number two seed because their backups were horrific. But I also think they can go into Chicago if Chicago beats the Packers. And, you know, look, Chicago's defense, of all the playoff teams, and that's talking about seven in the AFC, seven in the NFC, they're the worst defense, ranked number 24. They lost the last two games, gave up a ton of points to San Francisco, and then couldn't beat Detroit in the game they needed to win. And Detroit was unraveling, coming off a 6-turnover game on Christmas Day. I like what they've done this year, but I don't necessarily trust them. I don't trust Caleb Williams. I don't trust young quarterbacks, guys who haven't done it before. If that happens, the Eagles would have to win, again, predicated on if they beat San Francisco. They'd have to go in and beat Chicago. And then the Rams would play Seattle. And I think the Rams they suffered a tough fate a couple weeks ago. They're up 16, and that crazy two-point conversion kind of bit them in the rear end. And I'm sold on Seattle's defense. I think they're tremendous, and they ran the ball very well against the Niners as well. But there's the Sam Darnold factor. And one, as a team, they are in the lower echelon in terms of turnover ratio this year, and he's also high up there. He was number three heading into the final week of the season in terms of interceptions. I like what they did in terms of, you know, Clint Kubiak, how they kind of played it safe against the 49ers, and he made very good decisions. Maybe he'll continue to do that. But, again, he's only played in one playoff game, and it didn't go very well last year. And, look, give him credit, 14 wins, tremendous. Did it last year until it got, you know, late in the season. But I'd still go. And the Rams aren't a team I've loved this year. You know, Stafford can have these games. You know, aside from the last game where they beat the Cardinals two games back-to-back, Atlanta and Seattle, where he threw three picks in each game. So he can be human. But he also has, like, 46 touchdowns to, like, 8 interceptions this year. He's probably the MVP. Although their defense, they give up a lot of points as well. There's only two elite defenses in the NFC going into the playoffs: it's Seattle and the Eagles. They're 1-3. Eagles are technically 5, but I threw out the last game because they played without their starters. And that travels well. And listen, last year they had an elite defense and they ran the ball. They were number 2 in the league in rushing. They're 17th this year. That's the wild card. Can the offensive line return to form a little bit like last year? I mean, there were some stretches this year that you saw glimpses of it. But, you know, if you're not going to be able to run the ball, then it's going to be up to, you know, Jalen Hurts and kind of a pretty diet offense. You know, we'll see. I think they need to have him run the ball. He had a lot of success in their 3-game winning streak recently when he had designed plays for him, for Jalen Hurts, and he ran the ball. He didn't do it again in the last game they played against Buffalo for some reason. I don't know why, but I think they'll incorporate that. And they have some things that they're going to bring out in this in the playoffs going forward. Because, again, they have the best roster, one of the best rosters in the league. It's amazing, you know, banging your head against the wall, watching the same thing every week offensively, why this team can't get going. But it really starts with the offensive line. So I think the week off helped. I thought that Nick Sirianni tried to play both ends. You know, can't we do both? I'll rest the guys, and I think we can beat the Commanders with our backups. That went horribly awry. But at least, you know, we know what we have behind the starters. I hope none of the secondary starters get hurt, because they gave up 4 defensive pass interference penalties, 90 yards. You know, again, if I was the Commanders and a Cliff Kingsbury, I'd cross the 50 and just throw bombs, just throw lollipops, because the Eagles defenders were awful. So that's why Dory Jackson has gotten a lot of time this year, and he has played well. They're healthy. I mean, what can I say? This is a team that's won a championship. This is the second season. They have a tendency to – their identity, and everyone talks about their identity. Their identity is that they win games, and it's amazing how they do it, because they're 10-0, and Jalen Hurts has thrown under 200 yards this year. Like, that's like a reverse, you know what I mean? Like, oh, when he doesn't have gaudy numbers, they win. Because they went conservative ever since, you know, the last year of the Tampa Bay game and that bye, they decided to really dial back. Look at the 3-game skid. He threw the ball like 38 to 40 times a game, turned the ball over like 7 times in 3 games. They went back to conservative football. Might not be pretty, but when they protect the football and do just enough, he does just enough each game, big play here, big play there, and the defense, you know, does their thing. They tend to win. That's their identity. It's amazing because they're kind of dysfunctional, and they still win. But, you know, this is the second season, and it's really tough to repeat. So we shall see.
Hey, well, Rick, if I could just say a few things about the Eagles.
Sure.
I just looked it up. With Lane Johnson, 120 and 62. Without Lane Johnson, 15 and 24.
Yeah.
That's how good Lane Johnson is. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He's a first ballot. Yeah.
A couple of other things, and I think Joe kind of agreed with me. Apparently there was a thing in Philly. I was watching that game. I was watching the Bears game, and they were losing 16 to nothing. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know what the Eagles were doing, but then I went over, and it was obvious, you know, what the Eagles were doing. But I think that's a big mistake. And I know Joe was telling me how they interviewed the coach, and he was like, well, this is the only thing I control. I decided to give everybody the day off. But I wonder if it would have changed if you knew, for example, that they were going to be down 16-0. As you know, then the game was tied at 16, but the Bears still lost on a field goal late. And I think it's a big difference between the 49ers, whatever their health is, and playing the Packers, because they don't have the best rusher in, you know,
I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
And the final thing is, I was just looking up on just give me one sec. Last week, Trent Williams came out of the game with a hamstring. Now, you don't usually see real big linemen coming back from a hamstring to play the next week. Right now, he's questionable, but he's a huge piece of their puzzle.
Yeah.
And I don't
He's their Lane Johnson.
It is their Lane Johnson, but I don't know. You know, they showed when he got hurt, he was running down. I think it was on an interception or something, and he just pulled up like you pull up when you get a hammy. And he's a big guy. You know, he's not one of these – he's a gamer, so I think he's going to at least try. But if he's not Trent Williams, then that's a problem. But if he is, I think that'll help their running game against, a team that's real good against the run. But I think there are a lot of stuff there. And then, to me, this is kind of a karma thing, Joe. It's just kind of they had the chance. They could have done it. They could have done it, in my opinion, in the middle of the game at halftime or whatever. They could have put enough guys in, not even necessarily Hurts, but they could have put enough guys in there maybe to I don't know.
Put in at least the defensive guys. I told you, Reed Blankenship tried to sneak himself into the game, or someone grabbed his jersey and said, get back.
And God bless him.
All right.
God bless him, because there's a guy who wants to play. And for all we know, he had looked at the scoreboard and said, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I don't know. When was that? Do you know when that was during the game?
That was, I think, the second quarter even. Yeah, it was the second quarter, right?
He probably looked at the scoreboard. Come on, Joe.
Yeah. I texted, I was on a thread. I said, I would right now, because it was 13-0 at the time, put my defensive starters in. And maybe it's a thing that you don't, unless you absolutely need to. I don't know. Is there an injury risk? I mean, aside from your normal injury risk, it seemed like I'm almost not sure that they actually wanted to win the game, because they took out Bigsby in the third quarter with 2 minutes left. And they kept throwing with Tanner McKee, and he was getting worse as the game went along. Bigsby was running at will, and his last carry was with 2 minutes left in the third quarter. He didn't even go in as a decoy or to block or anything. He was gone. They brought in Shipley. I don't know if they're just evaluating guys. I mean, are you kidding me? It looked like a preseason game, but guys, there was a lot at stake here. So I don't know what coach was doing there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, and I want to show a little bit of accountability on my part here too. I'm gonna bring up some visual evidence here for anybody that catches the video edition of this podcast of how I inadvertently may have jinxed the Eagles here back in the preseason. So here's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to bring up our fantasy football draftology 2025. All of these, of course, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. And going to specifically where we have our list, our annual list of the top players in the league. And this is a non-fantasy list. This is just, we rank the top 32 players in the league, so an average of one per position. And somebody who, now Lane Johnson, I'm going to blow this up here. He'd been on the list previously here. Lane Johnson is no stranger to our rankings. He'd been on previously here, number 20 last year. He was up from number 27 the year before. A first timer on our list here this year. Landon Dickerson. And again, man, that guy gets hurt in the preseason. And he gets hurt in the preseason. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Did we do this to him? Like,
he's like, a beast. When he's healthy, he's a beast. It's a good call.
Like, yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, because like those guys, they're so instrumental, man. They're so freaking instrumental to everything that happens there and to the year that Barkley had previously. I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of this stuff here from the casuals and the booger eaters, like, what's wrong with Saquon Barkley? Well, and not having a suit, you know, he had an offensive line of guys with Superman capes a year ago. Yeah, it doesn't has just the opposite this year. So it's like, it's not like he has had nothing to do with it for good or for ill in the respective seasons. But I mean, you know, you look and you see the degree to which that can play a role here. And that has been one of the, when I think of everything with the Eagles, with their kind of hangover season here, that's kind of what I think of, which by the way, we say hangover season, but still like first team to repeat in the NFC East. And I don't know, you tell me, Joe, it's been a long
21 seasons.
21 seasons. Okay. It was something that I picked coming into the year. Now I will say I picked them to repeat. Went out on a limb in a few places with our divisional previews. Myself and fellow FDH Lounge original dignitary Chris Galloway, he went out on a limb because if you remember that brief stretch, and if you blink, you missed it, but that brief stretch when the Giants were healthy and they had Dart and Scadabo and whatever. Now, he was thinking that the Giants defense was going to be really good this year. He picked the Giants to win the division. That, of course, did not happen. The shirt that I'm wearing, I'm showing accountability here. I picked as a wild card team in the AFC alongside New England, who was a long shot at the beginning of the year. I did pick the Raiders. So I have to eat that one here. The team that's going to have the first pick in the draft, they were my long shot to make the playoffs in the AFC. So as much as I want to brag about the Texans, I didn't get them all right. But
Love your honesty, brother. Love your honesty.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was – it was a thing where – because Chris and I were doing the divisional ones. We do each of these ones separately. We record them separately. And it's just as sort of like a visual gag. Even though we were doing them – we did it over the course of like 2 days, but I was changing shirts between each one here just as part of the visual gag to pretend that we spread it out more than we did. And I tipped them off on this one for the AFC West, like, hey, if I – you know, when I come on the screen, this is going to be my spoiler for my big AFC, you know, weird pick here. And Chris actually did me the favor of, he took himself off screen so I could just be on screen just wearing this as I'm explaining about the Raiders. Explaining incorrectly, by the way, as they were one of the biggest dump teams in the league. I still think they underachieved greatly. I think the amount of talent that's on that roster is more than what they showed. But I don't think that extends to quarterback. I was wrong about Geno Smith not being washed. He was washed. And that made a big difference here. But I did pick Houston to win the AFC coming into the season. Chris and I both agreed coming into the season. We both agreed that it would be Green Bay winning the Super Bowl. I picked Green Bay over Houston. He picked Green Bay over Buffalo. I'm going to stick with Houston to come out of the AFC. I've already said Rams to come out of the NFC. And fire up the old baseball rivalry here between the cities of LA and Houston. Let's rip the scab off of that one. But I think a little bit of revenge for the Dodgers. I'm going to pick Rams over the Texans in the Super Bowl. Steve, you, if I remember correctly, you were picking the same teams here. How do you see the Super Bowl shaking out?
Probably the Rams. That's what I would say right now.
Okay. All right. I mean, and
they have a good enough defense, and I think, you know, Stafford's been there, done that. McVay has been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would think. They've got more experience.
It's experience. I think it counts for a lot in the playoffs.
I think it does, and I think, you know, Stroud is still developing. Stafford is, you know, a guy who, again, at age 37, having his best season. I mean, if this was 1998 baseball, we'd be sitting here with the raised eyebrows. But, you know, let's take it at face value here. There's no reason to suspect anything. Stafford having his second prime at age 37. Let's just go with that then, I guess.
It doesn't work on quarterbacks. I don't think they work on quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. And, Joe, if I was extrapolating correctly, are you looking for a repeat of the 2022 World Series? Were you sort of hinting at Philly and Houston?
You know, I'm trying to think back on, because a lot of people like the Eagles to repeat, but I know how tough it is to repeat, and a lot of things happen, although they have stayed healthy. As we head into the playoffs, I think I might have had them over Buffalo, or maybe vice versa in the Super Bowl. Buffalo, to me, I've watched them play enough that I don't think they're quite there, although Josh Allen could put the cape on and do his thing. I love, you know, my boy Dalvin Cook's younger brother, James Cook. He's been tremendous this year. You know, and looking at these teams, they're all flawed. You know what I mean? They're all flawed. Mm-hmm. Only three quarterbacks have had Super Bowl experience, and only two have won it. Matt Stafford, Jalen Hurts. He's been to two of the last three. Brock Purdy he came close. I think Steve and I agreed he was good. He needed to be great and could have won that game, but again, came up a little short against Dracula and the other evil empire, the Chiefs, that are no longer in existence, which is a good thing. The Eagles know how to win, and their defense is good, and I'm not a big Sam Darnold fan. And this isn't a homer because they drive me nuts. Sometimes I'd rather watch C-SPAN than watch these guys on Sundays. But I guess I'll go with the Eagles because they do play the best road team since Sirianni's been here in the league, 30-13. So they're not afraid to go anywhere, especially like Chicago, which, again, it's playoffs and it's in the road. And they won there with a double doink. I know two different teams now. But they are 7-1 in the last 10 years at home, and they played pretty well on the road in the playoffs as well. I know under Sirianni they're 0-2. One was against Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts, his first playoff outing. They got crushed, and Brady went on to win the Super Bowl with the Bucs. And the other was the end of the unraveling of 2023. I don't think those are good to measuring sticks, but they do play well on the road. They travel well, and they find ways to win. Again, I'm kind of going by process of elimination. Sam Darnold out. I'll keep the Rams in. I'll tell you that the Eagles kind of own the Rams. Last time they lost to them was at Lincoln Financial Field, where there were cardboard fans in the stands. It was COVID, and they had cardboard fans, if you remember that, because they wouldn't let people in. I know Tyler Higbee had a big game. The Eagles have beaten them four straight times. I'm not sure that, you know, makes a difference when they come in this time, if they come in. Listen, they came real close last year. If Jalen Carter doesn't sack Matt Stafford there, they were 13 yards away from winning that game. You know, Jake Elliott missed two extra points. And they had a 19-point lead in the second half against the Eagles this year. And the Eagles kind of, you know, got things going. See, the Rams are a good squad offensively. I love watching. One of my favorite receivers is Nacua. Oh my God, he's ridiculous! And if Davante Adams can come back, it's a pretty good show they put on. But defensively they can unravel at times. And Stafford can have these games. He threw some picks against Carolina. He threw three picks against Seattle and Atlanta. And they've lost three games this year on special teams. One was in Philly when they blocked a kick of Josh Carty late, and then they blocked one at the gun and ran it back. Mm-hmm. Jordan Davis ran it back. So they're not quite as buttoned up as I think. I think people sometimes get enamored with their offense, which is good. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather stay away from them, to be honest with you, as an Eagles fan of all the teams in the NFC. But if you're going to have to get to the Super Bowl, you're probably going to have to get through the Rams. At least it'll be in Philly if that happens. I'll go with the Eagles just because, and Steve knows, I've never been quite on board with the Rams this year, although, you know, the Eagles, I'm not sure where I am with the Eagles, you know, because Jalen Hurts usually bounces back from an abysmal game or half. You know, there are two halves this year that he didn't complete a pass against against Buffalo in the second half and against Tampa in the second half of that game. And they were minus one passing yards against the Rams in the first half, minus 18 against Tampa in the second half, and they were minus two against Buffalo in the second half of that game. And they won all three games. That's what I mean. Like they find – that's our identity. They find ways to win. They'll make enough plays. Look, against Buffalo, I know that Josh Allen missed a wide-open guy on the two-point conversion, but guess what? They had to go for that because Jalen Carter made a play, and he blocked Michael Badgley's extra point earlier, or Buffalo just kicks an extra point and wins the game. So they make enough plays, but, again, it's a high-wire act, and high-wire acts usually end up in chalk outlines. So I'm not sure, but – I'm kind of going by process of elimination. They are the champs. They do have the experience. I'll go with them.
Well, yeah, I can see all of your points there. You know, when you reference the double doink with Chicago, I mean, painful though it is, I have to raise this question. So between the double doink with the Bears, between Kawhi Leonard with the Sixers here, is there an aspect of physics that is hated more in Philadelphia than the bounce? Okay, like people must randomly shake their fist at things bouncing in Philadelphia after having those two things happen.
The Kawhi, I mean, that was, I mean, come on, really?
Yeah,
I mean, that might have been. Has he played since? Is he is he still on load management? Because that fall, as soon as the second bounce, and I was watching with my wife, I said, "That's in. It's going to drop," and boom, and it's ridiculous. And yeah, we're not quite over that one. We haven't got anywhere near that spot in the NBA playoffs. That would have catapulted us, and they ended up going on to win it, did Toronto. But there's been some rough times. There's been some rough times in this town. That was probably one of the worst.
Having brought up those tough memories, I will circle around to say, if anybody can empathize with you in watching the Eagles this year, as far as that the whole has not been, you know, the sum of the parts, so to speak, it is me as a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. I just, you know, so often I'm like, what are you doing? Why aren't you looking better? You know, and it's like, I know that injuries are playing a part here and whatever, but like, yeah, I mean, if anybody could relate to that, it would be this guy. So, you know, we can all feel each other's pain.
I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I'm glad that there's some company in misery, but I'm sorry to hear that because it is painful.
It is. It sucks. There's nothing worse than seeing just inexplicable kind of failing to gel and whatever. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. I feel you on that one. But, it's going to be a wild ride to the Super Bowl here. And like I said before, I'm predicting that there will be a cumulative rating spike from last year, even with the darling of the networks, the Kansas City Chiefs / Taylor Swift on the sidelines for this year's playoffs. I do think that all of the close games, hard-fought games, I think are going to lead to a spike in that. But it is always a spike personally in my adrenaline and my level of enthusiasm in life whenever I get to record with you guys here. The greats that are behind Callous Remarks, Steve Callous, Joe Stazak, guys, always a pleasure to have you on. I can't wait till the next time we're able to do it again. Really appreciate you guys being here. And thank you, everybody, for having checked out FDH Lounge mini episode 1899.